We are at Shishwap Pawn with Tanya and Mike, the owners. And you guys have been, well, the store has been here for...
Since 1998, so it's 2024 now. 36
years?
35, 36 years, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bought it from a guy like 17 years, I think, ago now. So I've been here for 17.
At that time, was Main Prize still in town?
Yeah, Main Prize was in town. I wasn't around at that time, but Main Prize was in town up on Hudson there for a few years. Yeah,
because that's where Whiz Bang Boxing is now.
That used
to be Main Prize.
Yeah.
And this store used to be where the candy vault is. That's where we...
Yeah, originally it was on the same side as Main Prize. And then they moved across to where that apartment building where Priest Lighting was. And then they moved over to where the Candy Vault is now.
Mm. And now
that's when I bought it. It was at the Candy Vault. I was there for about a year and a half or 2 years. And then the landlord wanted to renovate and stuff, so I moved out down here. This was the old Home Hardware building.
So this has been in this location since 2011.
Gosh, yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, time flies.
Yeah. And what brought you out to the shoe swap?
Well, we used to visit, like my cousin, the guy that used to own this place was... going out with my cousin. So we used to go from Calgary to Victoria to visit my family during holidays and stuff. So we'd stop here because it's halfway and we'd spend a day or two here, play on the lake or just take a break for the trip and then continue on. And we just kept doing this year after year.
And it always got longer.
Yeah.
So the first year we were here for like one night. The second year it was three nights. Then we decided that we would make a separate camping trip. So we would come for 4 or 5 days camping. And then the following year it was, 2 weeks. And the year after that we were looking at houses.
Yeah, it was just a fun place to be.
We moved with my whole family. We all moved together. We bought a property together.
That must have been nice.
Mm-hmm. In the shoe swap?
Yeah, in Blind Bay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. So we all own about 9 acres out there. Together.
Yeah, we got an acreage out there, so we all live there. And we have a bit of a hobby farm, too, so we got a couple emus and pheasants and turkeys and chickens. And
peacocks.
Peacocks, mm-hmm. Yeah, peacocks.
So. Nice. Are you right on the lake with your...
No, we're just up
from not too far, though.
Mm-hmm.
We're just a hop, skip, and a jump. You could walk there if you wanted to.
Yeah, just a couple minutes down the road.
It's a hike
secluded.
To get back home.
Yeah. Secluded, so
that's
like,
nice. Yeah.
Closest neighbor is like 500 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always been in the pawn business, or is this something new?
Oh,
yeah.
This is new. Yeah,
this is very new. Like, it was quite a learning curve. I've been in construction right out of high school my whole life. Like, never ran a till really ever. So I don't know why I just jumped in both feet. And
I think it's because it was here, right? It brought us closer to where we wanted to be.
Yeah,
and it was available.
And it was available. Yeah.
Well, the deal was a little bit different when, we were supposed to be, it was supposed to be a partnership thing with the previous owner, and that didn't pan out right away. And so
it was a learning curve. We had to kind of
I had like 5 minutes training and had to figure it out myself. So the first year or so was interesting.
What kind of challenges did you face?
The clientele was not the clientele that I wanted to deal with on a day-to-day basis, so there was an adjustment with that. I had to,
it's a complete turnaround from the clientele.
Put down the hammer, so to speak, and like not do business with certain people that I didn't want to do business with. So, now, like years later, like I'm doing 2 or 3 times the amount of business that they ever did.
We cleaned it up. So
yeah.
Now when people walk in, it's clean.
Organized.
It's organized. Yeah. It looks nice. We're friendly. People want to come. Like I said, we have people that come just for visits, just to come and say hi. They haven't been here in a little while. So we turned it around that way, cleaned it up, so to speak.
I know all the RCMP officers, and, I've been to jiu-jitsu with them, and I go to CrossFit here and there with them. And so we have a good relationship with the law enforcement, and they know how I run business. So they're not worried about anything weird going on, so which is a lot nicer.
We send reports and stuff, too. Like, we're very careful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The RCMP knows everything that comes in. It's one of those extra protection things.
People think, they associate pawn shop, must be stolen goods in
and
there.
And that's why we're trying to change that.
Yes.
We try to turn it around. If you're caught bringing anything stolen, you're banned from the store, period. That there is no ands, ifs, or buts. You just don't get to come in anymore.
Do you find that still people attempting that?
Rarely. Like back in the day, like this kind of what I was feeling at. Like when I first started doing this, it was quite a challenge. And also I didn't have a proper computer system. Like it was just stuff done on paper, really. So there was no way of keeping track much of what's going on. And
That was the first thing
we did. I didn't even know there was a bylaw in San Juan with pawn shops.
Yeah, we just bought it. We're expecting to be trained, and it didn't happen.
You know, so I learned, like, you know, police officers came in, you know, saying this or that, and there's a bylaw. I'm like, oh, okay. And so, yeah, we worked together.
What is the bylaw, like, pertain to, like...
Like, you have to have valid government picture ID, so passport, driver's license, you know, something to do with valid picture
ID. Healthcare card.
Healthcare card.
And it has to be current. It can't be expired.
Yeah. Plus, I take down all serial numbers, model numbers, time of day, everything, all the information on the item. And that item gets emailed to the police station, the RCMP, every day at 6 o'clock at night.
So, but everything, they have a record of
everything,
everybody,
yeah.
Everything, the
you
serial numbers
here, yep.
And everything. We're also attached to CPICS, which is a
Canada-wide database
for stolen goods that have been reported.
That the RCMP use, yeah.
Wow.
So if we put in a serial number and it's been stolen and been reported stolen, it will pop up as a stolen item. And then we know to, you know, call somebody.
Then I can take the item from the person because it's stolen. And I say, sorry, man, this has come up stolen. I have to call the RCMP. They have to come check it out. Which usually they, you know, that person leaves the store or whatever.
In a hurry.
Or
yeah,
they give us,
right?
They'll give us their phone number and say, well, I bought this from somebody. And, you know, so that when the RCMP comes, then they can chat with
this
them.
Is why people don't bring me anything.
<'Cause they know. laughs>
It's like turning yourself in, right? It just doesn't work here. I don't know what other pawn shops do, but we run this place pretty strict,
What did that feel like, getting into this business, knowing that there's that sort of stigma attached
Well, the
to
first
it?
The first year or so, I remember coming home.
A couple times going, well, what did we do?
Yeah, I remember coming home to Tanya and saying, like, I think we possibly made a mistake here. Like, I don't know if we should have bought this place. And then, you know, we just talk about it and like, all right, well, that's going to take some time. Let's just, like, let's stick with our values and, you know, let's just keep pushing the right way of doing things. And
we did go on the radio.
Yeah.
We did advertise through new ways. And we did go on the radio a little bit so that people would know that there was new owners.
Business turns around and things get better. And now it's great. Like, I don't have any problems with this place at all. It's just I get up in the morning and want to come to work, right? So it's good.
You have a wide variety of stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a little bit of everything.
We've been talking about that guitar that's in the back that was signed by someone from AC/DC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Angus Young guitar there, yeah. Yeah, no, we've got some nice guitars in there right now.
A lot of the guitars on the wall are consignments. So it's they don't belong to us, but we sell it for people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, and then we take 25%. It's very low consignment rate compared to a lot of other places.
That's cool. That's something I didn't realize.
Yeah.
You know, most people, again, they see pawn and they think, okay, you take it for until I can pay you back.
Well,
you know,
people sometimes think that when they come to a pawn shop, they're just selling me their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you don't have to sell me your stuff. You can open the value of your merchandise that you have at home. Like, everybody's got stuff all over their house. If you need to get your tires fixed or you get a flat tire that's unexpected and payday's not for a week, well, you have things that you could use in your house that you could leave as collateral and borrow. It's just a loan. It's no different than a bank.
Yeah.
You know, loaning money $200,000 for a house. Well, it's the same thing, just smaller scale. The item is collateral, the guitar, the DVD player, the TV, the tool, the ring, the chain, the whatever, the chainsaw. It's just collateral. So you can borrow a couple $100 and fix your car and go to work and get paid and then come back. You know, it's just like having a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
We have a lot of people that
people go, oh, wow,
will
yeah,
come up and pawn for the minimal amount
and
keep it in here for the whole winter because their tools are safer in the shop than they are at home.
Yeah, like snowbirds, you know what they call it? They go down to Arizona for the first 6 months of the year. They'll take some of the higher-end merchandise out of their house and they'll just bring it here.
Yeah, for a minimal pawn and they pay them
borrow
monthly fee.
Borrow $50
and
or
then,
something, you know, whatever.
And then it's here until they get back.
Yeah, that way they don't have to worry about their house being broken into. And someone taking their stuff.
Well, do you have a period of time where after which it becomes yours? Because, you know, you can't store stuff forever.
Yeah, all loans are based on 30 days.
I'm sorry, how
on 30 days.
30 days.
So if you need longer, you would just come back and pay the fee.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would get another 30 days.
We also have an online tool so that if you wanted to renew yourself, if you were away, like a snowbird, and you wanted to go away, you could log on to your own account and pay your fees. And it would automatically update on your account in this end.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't even have to come in.
So it's kind of like a storage fee.
Yeah, basically.
So we can e-transfers or, like Tanya said, you can have access right to your account on the computer. Just you can, on your own couch, wherever you're living, you can just look up your file and
Yeah.
Pay it right through your phone, just
you
like
can
the
pay
store.
Pay your layaways that way.
Pretty updated, like our computer system. Yeah, we use a company called PawnMate, and they're a Canadian-based company.
Oh.
I used to use PawnMasters, which is a U.S.-based company, and all their fees were in U.S. dollars, and they're out of Florida. And yeah, it was a really good company.
But they didn't have the same option for their customers to be able to log into their own accounts. This one is separate. They have their own login information, their own passwords.
That's a computer program as opposed to like a database?
Yeah, it's a program, and they have a database as well. So everything's backed up.
Mm-hmm. So. And it doesn't keep any personal information. So
yeah.
Somebody's social insurance number, you would never have to put in there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't. If you don't want to use credit card, you don't have to use credit card, but it's not saved anyway.
Yeah.
None of
just the name
saved.
And the person. And,
yeah.
That's about it. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, no, it sounds...
It keeps track of everything, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like, goes back years now, so...
Yeah.
And it's a Canadian company, so, I mean, it's mm-hmm. nice to support...
Yeah.
Canadian companies, right?
Yeah.
As much as you can, so...
That's really cool about, like, the snowbird example, because,
mm-hmm.
of
yeah.
course, you wouldn't have to worry about... Imagine this place locked up, like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
There's a gate at the front door, and everything's locked up, and there's... Alarm systems and cameras everywhere.
Alarm system attached right to, you know,
so,
a monitoring system. So
we're also looking for a community angle to the conversations we have. So that's a perfect example of how the community and yourself
interact
mm-hmm. and support each other. And that makes you feel part of Salmon Arm too,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
yeah. Well, I never knew it before. Like, you know, I've never... You know, I did a transaction in pawn shops years ago when I was a kid and stuff like that, but I never really understood, like, the need for pawn shops as much as I do now. Like, you know, there's people at the counter that just literally break down in tears.
Yeah.
Because you get them through a hard spot in their life. You know, like, something breaks. Like, people are tight.
Yeah,
you know, and every little thing, like the washing machine breaks, it can break you, you know, when you're not expecting it. So I get lots of thank yous nowadays, that's for sure. It's really cool. Yeah,
that is.
I was actually going to ask, what role does a pawn shop play in a town? And
yeah, it's important. It's really important.
I mean, you can always look at it on the other side too. If something were to come in that was stolen, that we were unaware that was stolen, well, as soon as it's reported stolen and the RCMP come, the people who had something stolen get their stuff back.
Yeah.
So there's a way that they could potentially get their stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the person that stole it, now we've had their ID. The time, the location, everything that they brought in, what they look like, they're on camera when they come in. We've got their face on camera. So now they've been caught as well, right? You know, he's not allowed to be in here anymore. Now he would be banned from our store.
Yeah.
He would never be able to do a transaction in here again. So we've caught one person. You've got your stuff back, potentially. And the police now know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, it helps that way, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's that little dark side that people fear about pawn shops, but they're not looking at the brighter side that
mm-hmm.
could be on there as well.
So if you do everything above board and you have a proper business plan and do all the right things, then you got years of employment and business and helping people and all that stuff, right? So...
I sort of have to ask, there's the TV show, the Pawn Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's helped pawn shops along the way? Because
I guess.
Yeah,
it's a little out there.
They see it, I guess, a different side of pawn shops, but you don't get to phone somebody. If something comes to the counter,
yeah, I don't have an expert.
I have an internet that I can look up and try and find that item and see what the value is and stuff. I don't have experts on the phone that I can call 15 different experts to tell me what something is worth. And it's a decision you have to make on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, you know what, I'm just going to think about this for like 3 hours. Can you call back? And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So it's a little off base, but it's, you know.
Well, it's TV.
Hardcore pawn in Detroit is a little more.
It's a little, like, more, on
little
level.
More on the level.
Not
pawn
so much
shops.
For here. But,
I'm not
going to
get $1 million cannon walk in the door, I'll tell you that. And some this is probably not gonna happen, but hardcore pawn, like, you see guys sitting in line with a TV and a VCR,
yeah,
that's
more of the style, right?
That's small
loans. Collateral loans that are based on small,
like, my
loans.
Average loan is under $200,
mm-hmm.
you know, $100, $50, that's an average loan.
Mm-hmm.
People just need to borrow a little bit till payday. They get the odd $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 loan, but it's rare,
mm-hmm.
you know. So most people don't need to have that kind
that
of money.
That much, yeah.
You know?
Well, you'd have to have something that was worth it, wouldn't you?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
You better be bringing in something pretty fancy.
So you find the shoe shop affords a nice work-life balance.
It can, if you choose to do that, yeah. But, I mean, you know, I struggle with that all the time. Like, I got so much stuff. Like, we both have so much stuff on our plates, like, nonstop. Like, if it's not... She has a soaping business, too, right? Wild Soap Company is her business, so she makes everything. Bath bombs, soaps, you know, creams, you name it. She makes it. So she's busy doing that. I'm busy doing this. And Tanya also helps me with this, too, which is the books and keeps the paperwork organized for the most part. And on top of that, I have the chickens and all that stuff at home and a big yard to deal with and, you know, like all that stuff. You know, everybody does
it. So it's a balancing act. I think it goes with everybody that works and lives here.
Like this year, we finally went to Mexico for 10 days. We haven't been anywhere for like 9 years. 12 years. A long time. So
12 years.
Yeah.
Saw a sign out there for eggs. Is that your...
Yeah.
Whatever we don't use, like, because we have her parents and her sister live on the same property, and also my mom and, like, some friends of ours.
Yeah.
And my dad and stuff. So whatever eggs we don't use, we bring here to sell to whoever. So, and the people that buy the eggs think they're awesome, so...
Free run.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a whole acre. The door opens up in the morning at 6, and they go out and they just do their thing on a whole, like, they have a whole acre field that they just go out and scratch and eat bugs and grass and whatever they do. So they do have chicken food that they eat if they need to, but especially in the summer times, they don't eat much because they go out and forage. Their thing. So, the eggs are pretty awesome. They're real free-range birds. Like, they're not
cages. Yeah, they're not just out for an hour a day or anything. They are,
yeah. And even in the wintertime, when there's snow on the ground, there's nothing to do. They go out, they eat snow. I don't even have to give them water. They just eat snow and stuff. So, yeah.
How many emus do you have?
Two. I ate my first emu egg the other day.
Yeah, it was this big. It's the equivalent of 10.
570 10 grams.
Yeah, equivalent of 10 large eggs.
It was different. Like, you know, you need a knife to crack it open. It's hard. It's super hard. It looks like an avocado.
Yeah, it's
same kind of color, almost like an emerald green. Yeah, it's pretty neat. So I'm like, well, I gotta eat one, you know.
Try it.
So I opened it up and put it in a measuring cup. Kapoof. Big, huge yolk like this big, the size of my hand. I'm like, whoa. So me and my son ate it and salt, pepper and stuff, and it was fine. Yeah, it tastes just like a chicken egg. No difference.
Huh?
Yeah. Not as strong as my chickens, because my chickens are free run, and they go out and eat all that stuff. The emus are a little bit different. Like, they do need food, proper food, so because they eat, like, 2 pounds a day. So it wasn't as strong of a chicken egg flavor, but it's more like a store-bought egg, like, kind of bland, you know.
Mm.
Like, farm-fresh eggs are a lot more flavorful than store-bought stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, and how much do they lay?
Up to 50 eggs a year. So right now I'm on... Like, the one female, I just have two females, so the one female, I think she's on her fourth egg this year. And they lay them somewhere in between December and, like, the end of April or June or something like that.
It's only season.
So 20 to 50 eggs a year, and they stop laying at around 20 years old.
So what do you do with the eggs besides eat that one?
I just give them away. Or blow them out and sell the shells.
Mm-hmm. A lot of artists love the shells.
Yeah, whatever, I don't know. I didn't buy them for their egg production. Like, if I had a male, it'd be pretty cool to breed them and sell the birds. They're like little striped zebras.
When they're
super
born,
cool.
Yeah,
and they're babies. They're hilarious. So, you know, maybe I'll get into that, but I'll need to find a male and buy a male from somebody or something. But then I got to figure out which female the male's comfortable with, right? Because they're kind of funny. Like, if they don't like you, they'll attack you. And they're big. It's like a 120-pound bird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's no joke. So... They're not as bad as the cassowaries. They don't have, like, the big claws on their feet. But, yeah, if they don't like you, they'll tell you they don't like you. So mine are pretty sucky. They're okay. But
they let them hug them. Like, they love their petses.
So you've had them since they were a little chick?
No, I got these ones last year. They were 6 years old. There's a lady in Chase that was deciding to sell her hobby farm there and move down east. So...
Yeah,
I got them for a song, and I didn't, I was looking up predator control animals, and a lot of times you can get an emu for predator control, because I was having, like, coyotes and raccoons and things like this, and birds eat my chickens, which is really annoying, because I want them to free range. I would rather not have animals if I had to lock them up. I just don't want to do that. They have to be out in the yard. That's just how I feel. So then the raccoons come, and they tear them apart, and the bird comes and eats it, or coyote or whatever, so it's just frustrating. I had a bobcat one year.
So emus are known as...
I don't know. I haven't had a problem. Well, they make a big. funny drumming noise, too. Like, it's like a tribal... I can't even explain it. It's really weird. Internal thump that they have in their body, the females.
Sounds like a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's like a heartbeat. But 2 feet away sounds the same as if you're 100 feet away.
You can hear it just as clear.
Like, it just follows...
It's weird.
It's weird sound. It's, like, really... tribal. It's funky.
And they're tough.
Anyway, I haven't had an animal problem at all so far.
So the chickens don't mind them?
No, no, they get along great.
Yeah. I had to separate the male and the two females because I bought them when it was kind of like breeding season. Mm. And when breeding with emus, breeding season could be a little bit off. So I bought them when breeding season. I moved them to a new property. So they were trying to figure out who's the boss again. The one was running the other one like nonstop. So I had to separate them. I'll wait till the summer comes and they stop laying eggs. Like, oh, that's all done. And then I'll see if they can hang out together again. Yeah. And then it should be fine.
That's why we take the long weekends off. Yeah, if there's a long weekend that lands on a Monday or a Friday, we always take the whole weekend.
That's our break, you know, that's what we get.
Because that's the only break that we usually take.
It's important. How late do you stay open?
Usually 5. Christmas time, they stay open later or whatever. So we'll take part in that sometimes. We'll do the open till 8 on Thursdays or Tuesdays or whatever day that was.
Yeah, it never really panned out much. It was just dead, so I usually just...
Eventually that will pick up. It's always slow until people get the hang of it.
Yeah.
Right? You change your hours. We opened up Sundays 1 year. We did that for 1 year just to see. And at first it was like, why are we open Sundays? And then near the end it was like, wow, okay, well, yeah, Sundays was worth it if one of us came in. Mm-hmm. But eventually it was just like, we're not getting any days off.
You have to think about it. It was like, well... what's the cost benefit?
So we stopped being open Sundays, just so that we had our downtime too.
Hang out and go do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, you need to have time for yourself.
Yeah,
you have to have that.
Yeah.
So Tanya, tell us about Wild Soap Co. How did that start? And
actually, it was this one's idea.
Oh?
It was Mike's idea. He was watching videos and decided that.
Well, you used to buy stuff from Lush and these places, and I'm like, it's probably not that hard to make that stuff. You know, why don't you figure out how to make it? That way you can, because it's expensive.
Stuff I've been making for years, shampoo and conditioner bars and lip balms and lotions and sugar scrubs. A lot of that I was already making, but because I make it for gifts, right? I've always sent it out and make my own gifts. So now it's...
business.
It's clean.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, there's not chemicals. I don't use lots of chemicals. There's no phthalates. There's nothing toxic. It's all... clean.
Tanya went a little crazy.
I did.
Like in 5 minutes, my entire house is like a soap studio, like warehouse full of soap and machines and pots and measuring cups and product everywhere. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like it was supposed to be a hobby. Like a few bars of soap at the pawn shop, maybe the odd market. And,
I took it to 5 markets a week. And, production was in full swing.
I'm, like, ready to, like, stop and go, like, watch a TV series at 10 o'clock at night. And, like, she's in the garage. Goggles on and gloves on and making stuff. Like, you know, the big old cauldron. You know, like, what are you doing? I'm making stuff. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, when you first find something you love to do anyway. I mean, I've been doing it forever. So when I found something... like, it's like we talked about purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know. You love it so much, you could do it 24/7. Rest? What's that?
Yeah.
I need to rest.
Well, it's the creativeness that comes out of Tanya. She likes the creative part of the business. Yeah, making stuff and doing all that stuff, you know.
And anything overage, like if I have any extras that I don't need or don't use or whatever, I always just donate to the women's shelter because they can always use soap and, you know, cleaning products, shampoos.
We give lots of stuff away. Make baskets, little goodie baskets for people, like, you know, for birthdays or something, or a thank you for somebody. She gives her tester stuff that she wanted to make and try out. She just gives it all to her parents or whoever to try out.
Mm-hmm. I have certain people that test because they'll let me know exactly how it works, right? Rather than,
the smell.
I need to know, like, how does it make your hair feel? You know, like, there's a whole questionnaire that you got to fill out. So it's kind of homework, but...
Mm-hmm.
You get free product too.
And she's got like a bit of a cult following now. Like there's some people that
they love my stuff.
They will not buy any other product anywhere else ever again. Like there's one lady that bought like 20 something bars of soap. But she gives it away, and you know, whatever. But yeah, like Revelstoke and Vernon, and like there's people that come from all over the place now to get her stuff. So it's kind of neat.
It is.
Yeah.
Do you get customers from out of town?
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, there's no more pawn shops in Vernon.
Yeah, Vernon.
Not really. There's this one guy in the corner, but he's not really. He'll buy some gold once in a while, but that's what it. There's no pawn shops in Vernon, so now they all come here.
Is there a reason for that you've heard?
Well, one got broken into,
and apparently they stole everything, and there's that. And then the one place burned to the ground, but it was in a building with a bunch of other businesses.
That was last year.
That was the last one.
That one burned down.
And it burned down.
And then Raven Traders, or whatever it's called.
They closed down.
They closed down, too. I think the old guy retired, and the kids didn't want to bother with it anymore, so they closed down.
Yeah, so now we get a lot of people from Vernon driving out.
I visited for about 5 seconds. I'm like, oh, I wonder if we should open up one in Vernon. And I thought, no, I don't need the extra work.
So. We already did that in Chase. Mm-hmm. And then we had a pawn shop in Revelstoke. We had 3 locations at once, but COVID shut those down pretty fast. We couldn't. We just couldn't stay open with all the shutdowns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to, when you got no money coming in, it's hard to keep something. There's still rent to pay. So we had to
downsize. Well, the government was handing out so much money, right? So nobody needed to use a pawn shop anymore.
So how did you fare here during that time?
It was okay. Like, this place is established enough that I had a good base of customers. And, you know, but this place did, like, I lost, you know, 3/4 of the business overnight almost. It took 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In 3 months, I lost like 3/4 of my income from this place.
Which was carrying our other places. Yeah. So we had to shut down those
places. Because we opened the place in like November in Revelstoke. Like November, December, January.
February,
and then COVID.
And then COVID.
So I was only with like 4 or 5 months, and then it was like nobody needed to borrow money anymore because the government was handing out
wanted to be out. Nobody wanted to go out, shopping.
There was just
everyone
a weird time.
Home, you know, so it was just different.
The problem was that nobody was selling me anything. Nobody was borrowing anything. So I didn't have any loans that were defaulting and things like this. Nobody was putting things on consignment. So, yeah, I had awesome sales for 3-4 months. Yep. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at the walls and there's like nothing left for sale and nothing coming out behind that to go out for sale.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, uh-oh. And we had to shut down Chase. We're like, well, Revelstoke, we can't keep funneling money to that location because we
need it here. Chase went down first and then we had to shut down Revelstoke.
That was a struggle that year. And so we were able to pull through, obviously, no problem. Now it's pretty well back to normal again.
But that's when I started making soap, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was my backup plan.
I wonder if we could make an extra couple grand a month, you know, just selling soap and stuff, right?
So did the construction back here affect you at all?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't even get into here. It was like
a
little goat trail.
To get into our front door.
The whole back alley all dug up. It was terrible.
It was awful for about 2 months.
It was like this little goat trail to get in here and everything's fences and stuff. So I did lose a lot of business. Upstairs, too, they lost, like the pet store, they lost tons of business.
Hmm.
And they had a front access, too. And they still lost a lot of business
because
nobody wanted to come down here.
It was closed off, too, right? Yeah. There was like no parking either.
Yeah, nobody wanted to come down here. The only thing I got was like pawners that would, you know, need to borrow money. No matter what happens, they'll come here. But all the customers, like the shopping, my sales were like gone. Yeah, it was rough. But I was lucky, like the landlord at the time, they said that, you know, if there's any issues, like we can like defer the rent if you need to or something like that, which is great. I never used it, but I thought it was nice of them that they would work with me if I needed to through the COVID time and the construction time and stuff. So ups and downs, it's just like any business.
The big fires last year, did that affect you?
Not so much. Not really, I don't think.
No, it affected where we were living. We had to be packed and ready to move. Mm-hmm. We were right in Blind Bay, and that was where a lot of the fires were.
Yeah.
So we were on alert, but we didn't, we never actually had to leave. But we had here, like we could come here if we needed to, right? There was a lot of people in San Manarm that were opening their doors and helping out, so.
Yeah, we were all packed up, ready to go, just in case. Because it hopped over and went into Notch Hill area and stuff, right? So,
a little too close for comfort.
Yeah, it was. That was a gooder.
The smoke was bad. I mean, obviously tourism was down, so everything slowed down that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, we still had our usual
customers and stuff,
So it wasn't like we had to close down. We didn't have to close down or anything like that, but it was just different.
Did you see more business after that? I guess that's
There's people buying, like, replenishing tools and stuff that might have burned up in their garages and or whatever. Yeah, I've met lots of people that lost pretty well everything over there. So, you know, they're starting over, really. They're having to buy a few things here and there, like some tools and, you know.
We have a lot of people that just come to chat, too, just to visit.
Yeah, the pawn shop is a lot like the bar, right? Yeah, the bartender guy, right? So I hear a lot of stories about, you know, people's situations and stuff, which is fine. I don't mind.
But you say business is pretty much back to normal now? Or
yeah, pretty well. No, pretty well. I'm probably 90% back to the way it was. Yeah, 95. So I'm happy.
Good.
Yeah, plugging away. Yeah, no, we're good that way.
Anything coming up that you want people to know about or...
Anything we haven't asked that you'd like people to know about?
Well, we don't do, like I said, we don't really do much for things like that other than Halloween. Like, we do. Halloween is our thing that we do, but.
Yeah?
Yeah, we put on a huge for Halloween.
You guys been here for the Halloween?
I don't think so.
Yeah, been here for Halloween.
You've been here all this many years and you've never been here? Man, we've been doing Halloween, well, forever. And we put on a huge haunted house.
In the store?
Yeah, we close
it down for 2-3 days and...
Yeah, we move everything. The shelves all get moved back. We hang up black poly. And it's a big haunted house. You have to walk through different themed rooms. And at the end of the thing, the kids get a great big goodie bag because it is scary.
It's really scary. Like, I don't know, you just ask some kids and ask some people that are around town if they've been to the haunted house. And everybody's like, that was... craziest thing I've ever seen. We've been really lucky this last couple years because Bill, he owns the building, and he's had the upstairs empty, so I've been able to use the upstairs.
He let us use the upstairs 2 years in a row now.
So it's like a clean slate. I can put up fencing and have a pattern and like a maze and do stuff there, but usually I haven't done here. It's wild.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. Like, a lot of times people can't even get in the door like 20 feet. It's too scary to out the door. Kids are crying. Parents are throwing their kids as shields. Like, it's survival of the fittest. Oh, it's absolutely insane.
We do have people at the front that are handing out candy to all the little ones that won't come in, right? So there is somebody that, and then
we don't spare feelings on
Halloween. A few times we've set up tables and areas where people have watched the young ones for them and had coloring pages and stuff, so that the moms and dads can go through and not have to worry about their kids.
It's so much fun.
It is scary,
yeah.
Well, but it's meant to be scary.
Yeah, that's Halloween.
It's Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at the one, I think, in Vernon, the Field of Screams.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that. Yeah,
that's pretty fun.
Something similar to that, but not obviously outdoors. We don't have that kind of space. Mm-hmm.
And we usually try to pick a theme, usually based on whatever horror movies
are coming out
that year.
So that like, people have seen them, right?
Once
so
it was Slender Man, and it was The Ring one time.
I did a Ring,
The It year was awesome.
Yeah.
And now it's just like a production.
Well, it takes quite a while to set up. It takes me 6 months. I make the costumes a lot of the times. So I'll sew them. I make the costumes and I make the props, you know, and then it's more realistic that way.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but yeah, it's quite a thing. Like, I wish I could have like a whole week or 2 weeks to just like clear everything out and just do like this.
And then it would be nice to be able, like Ellen does, like they do it with Universal Studios, where they can
like a warehouse
for a whole week, but that's our business. We can't do that.
Like a whole warehouse for a whole month of October would be awesome.
We do it for the day, like the afternoon.
Yeah, that's fun.
And then tear down again.
It's Halloween. It's our thing.
It's like getting married. I always say it's like getting married. You take a whole year planning the wedding. You take the whole day, you get it all set up, you're married in half an hour, and you go and that's it.
You're done. So
it's very similar to that. It's a lot of work to set up for, you know, 3 hours, but it's worth it.
So do you just do it during the tree trail then?
Just the 2 hours or the 3 hours or whatever the tree trail is, 1 to 4 or 5 or something, whatever it is. So usually it's like 2 full days of just giving her set up, and then we do that. We usually just make it. And then after that's done, after the last person goes through, and then lights are on, we tear down everything real quick, just leave it on the floor basically, and order a pizza and go home.
Yeah,
and try to get some sleep and
clean up.
Get some sleep and come back and organize it. Yeah, it's nice when it lands on like a Saturday
weekend
or something like that. That way I get, or Monday. Yeah, Monday's good because then I get all Sunday because I'm closed anyway. I can get here early and like have the whole store and do stuff. So
yeah, we're definitely gonna have to come back.
Yeah, you should.
And record it, yeah. Throw it up on air.
I guess there's no such thing as, like, promotions or sales
or
anything.
Oh, we do that for February. Yeah. We do February, every February for Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
we put all our jewelry out for
sale
for 20% off.
Well, honestly, we don't really do a whole lot for most of the holidays. Like, we take the time off. Like, when holidays come, I go home. Like, this Easter's coming up. We're done for four days.
So we go home for 4 days.
So those are the only days that I really get.
I basically hand out candies and treats.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
So I'll put a little bowl of you know, little Easter eggs and stuff like that for the young ones. And for the adults. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, all the adults love candy, too.
Yeah.
So I always have that. And at Christmas time, I buy little presents and we put them under the tree. So when the kids come in, you know, you know, some of them aren't well off, so they're not going to have that much. So to get a gift once in a while, you know, just from anybody is kind of special. So I always have that under the tree. We wrap up presents under the tree, and the little ones are allowed. You know, the pink ones are the girl gifts, and the blue ones are the boy gifts.
We decorate pretty good. Jamie is awesome. She loves Halloween and Christmas and all the holidays, and she decorates.
Yeah.
I give her, go nuts, do what you want. So she just gives her, and yeah, she's pretty awesome. Couldn't be happier,
I mean, the Halloween thing, we do, you can bring a non-perishable food item, and then we just give it to our neighbor, which is the food bank.
The food bank there,
So we do that, but it's not, we don't have an admission fee. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, everything we put on is free. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to pay to get in, you know what I mean? But it is nice when you can bring something, you know. It's like a pay-for.
Yeah, we get some people to bring in some candy boxes, too, like,
to
you know, because we make a whole bunch of goodie bags. Like, we had 600 people come through last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, it's insane. It's lined up all the way around the block. Like, it's an hour wait to get in.
That's great.
But all the other holidays, for the most part, we take the time off and we spend it with family at home and relax a little bit. It's really the only time we shut her down, so...
Christmas time, we do the same thing. We have do a sale. Anything in the store is a certain percent off, and we'll do it different. We do little prize things, right? So we'll put a thing full of marbles, and you have to guess how many marbles are in there. And if you guess within 100 marbles, you get, you know, 50% off. If you guess within, you know, 300 marbles, you get, you know, 25% off. And if you guess within 500 marbles, everyone always wins, so you get 5 or 10% off. So we do that, especially at Christmas time.
Yeah, people have birthdays. If people have loans with us that are in the system, you know,
they'll get texted that
show up.
It's their birthday month. They get 10% off. Anything.
Computer automatically texts the person saying, hey, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. You get 10% off anything in the store.
So.
That's fun.
You know, besides consignment sales, because that's not technically my stuff to sell. But and then there's also something else that we do, too. Oh, we do a $100 draw every month.
Oh, yeah, we do that, too.
People that have loans and pick up their loans, we put their name into a draw box. So we do a $100 cash draw every month. So we do little things to keep people, you know, winning. Need more winning these days.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little things like that. And yeah. Jamie's always thinking about
stuff.
We always
do little
things.
Like, we have a donut day, right? And we go to Enderby, which makes the best donuts.
Sutherland's, right?
Sutherland's is the best, hands down, donut place ever. And we go there and we order, 10, 15 dozen donuts. And we bring them in. And everyone who comes in the store that day gets a free donut. Right, so we do that too. A whole bunch of different things. We have a whole list of different things that we do for different occasions. So.
Nothing too major, but just little things.
Yeah, just little things. But it's, you know, freebies.
Yeah. Our son volunteered at the
food bank there.
Second Harvest next door there for
four years.
And, you know, we try to do little things here and there.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, it's shushwap-pawn.
Yeah, shushwap-pawn.ca.
Yeah.
I have mine as wildsoapco.ca.
Yeah.
But it's like it shows soap and bath bombs, that's it. And I've mixed so much more.
You almost need
to hire
someone
to update
just
that.
To do internet stuff.
Do you have any other social media at all, or just the website?
We have a Facebook page, like the pawn shop has a Facebook page. So every once in a while I'll post something. Like the draws, the $100 draws I like to do live. So we do that sometimes. And
do you find most people just, if they want to contact you, could just come in?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I ask every new customer, like, how they heard about me. mm-hmm. you know, either Facebook or the Google, or somebody referred them, or they just saw the sign outside and thought they'd come in.
Most people just Google it.
Yeah. Most people is now Google. That's where I usually put my advertising in for, like, the search engine stuff. I get Telus to deal with it, but it's where I try to put most of my advertising dollar into Google, because that's where it seems to be working. So everybody, we've been here for so long, everybody knows. It's not very often I'll get a guy, like every once in a while, which kind of, it's funny, you know, a guy come in that's lived in Salmon Arm his entire life, and he's like, oh, I didn't know there was a pawn shop in Salmon Arm. I'm like, really? Oh, are you new to town? No, no, I lived here my whole life. Yeah, so, I mean, everybody pretty well knows I'm around, so. For the most part, I have a pretty good rapport. 99% of the people are all happy customers. And I've had recommendation letters from the bylaw officers and Better Business Bureaus and other businesses in town, because when I opened up my shop in Chase, they wanted to have all these letters. They wanted a letter from the police station. They wanted a letter from the Better Business Bureau. They wanted a letter from the bylaw officer. They wanted a letter from two or three businesses in town.
So we had to get
five or six letters of all these people.
Things. So we got more, of course. We decided to, if they needed this much stuff, we were going to make sure we had double what they asked for. So they couldn't say no.
We'll have too many problems, for sure. We treat everybody with respect here, so.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. That's great.
Hopefully we're here for another 20 years.
Mm. Yeah, hope so.
Well, I'm 50 now, so I got at least another 15 years before I got to retire.
So thank you very much. We appreciate you chatting with us.
Yeah. Well, I hope you got some content for your show and...
We did. We got to know you guys, and that's mostly what we wanted to do, is to get to know you and have the town get to know you a bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And recognize that, you know, you're a pawn shop. That doesn't mean bad things.
Yeah, no. I mean, that old thing is pretty much gone.
We turned it around.
I think every pawn shop is trying to change things the way it used to be.
It's just the stigmatism. We've changed that quite a bit.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks again.
Thank you.
Anytime.